So now we did begin the laws of Bishul Akum, Simon Kuf Yud Gimel.
Who writes the stuff on the top?
The stuff, you mean the...
Small.
The smaller. So that's the printers. The printers, if you look in before this existed, these red Torahs existed, so the old Torahs, which we have in our library, it pretty much has the Beis Yosef in one big block with every couple, there's a bolded word every once in a while to give you a new spot. It was very difficult to find anything, and it was certainly very difficult to match it up with the way it was in Shulchan Aruch. So the printer, one of the maybe the biggest tova that these printers did was they divided up the Beis Yosef, so now you could find things. If I want to, and you could cross-reference back and forth from Shulchan Aruch back to the Beis Yosef and back and forth. So those are headings, especially when they're out of order. I think that's what they put here. When it's out of order, they give you the hint to that.
Our print is over here.
That's for the tour. I mean, the tour has... Okay. No, so I think that's what it is. The tour is, it has the basis for a lot of things. And then the ones that are the heading in the Beis Yosef are things that are in the Beis Yosef that aren't in the tour. That's the
stuff
breakdown.
On top of the tour that we have.
The stuff on top. So it's a table of contents.
That's what the printers put.
Right, the printers are big Talmidei Chachamim. This is not, these aren't like, you know, the printers who make Tosofim and whatever. These were big Talmidei Chachamim. There's an editorial board and everything. In fact, when I was in yeshiva, one of the people on staff, the yeshiva I was in, Rabbi Rum, was on the editorial board. His name was in these Beis Yosef, but not in all the volumes. So, not in this one. So, but on the front page, so it tells Machon Yerushalayim who the people are in charge of, which, etc. So let's just go to the Beis Yosef. Shlakos Shebashlam Goy Asur, right? So if you have, Beis Yosef on the other, it starts on the left-hand side.
I think we're down.
Oh, you're down there? Oh, we're still off? I thought we were back together again. Okay, Shlakos Shebashlam Goy Asur, if you have cooked foods that a non-Jew cooked. Right, so that's a Mishnah beperek ein ma'amid, and that's the same Mishnah that we quoted from before in Daf Lamed Hayam and Bezin Avodah Zarah. So money shlakus shel goyim bechlal dvarim hasurim ba'achila, that types that shlakus of non-Jews are included in things that are asur ba'achila. Uperish Rashi, and Rashi explains shlakus kol davar shebashlu goy ba'afilu bekli tahor v'kul mishum chasnus. And Rashi says anything that's cooked, even if you know everything was kosher. Right, and why? And it's all a problem of intermarriage, right? The concern is intermarriage. Fine. Uve Gemara Perish Rashi, and the Gemara, however, if you look in Rashi three pages later, where it goes back to the laws of Bishul Akum, which is the rest of what we learn here is going to be on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So there, Rashi gives you a different reason. Taima Achrina, he says, Shelo Yehi Yisrael Rugel Eitzel Goy V'Maichel V'Mishta V'Yochlu Davar Tameh. That we want to make sure that a Jew doesn't eat too much amongst non-Jews. Because if he eats too much amongst non-Jews, even if in the beginning they start out with everything being kosher, eventually he's going to end up eating something that is not kosher. Right, so right off the bat, you have a machlokas here about not really a machlokas; it's the same person. But Rashi's giving you two different interpretations or two different reasons as to the svara behind Bishul Akum. Right, so does it matter? So maybe it matters. We'll look in the Pisli Tshuva. Sorry, not Pisli Tshuva. Not there, but. Yeah, so when we get to Shulchan Aruch, we'll look in the Vizchi Tshuva for a possible Nafka Mina. Okay.
No, if it could be two guys. I mean, that's...
Right, so even there...
Just to not be able to get married, but then...
Well, we had that with Pas Akum. Right, we had that with Pas Akum. What if a person doesn't have a child? Right? So there we rejected it. There we're going to reject it here. But there perhaps is a...
Then it could be some Nakamita, that's all.
Right, I hear. But...
These are two guys. If you get friendly, you might marry his daughter.
Right, or you might marry their niece. So you might be introduced to someone else. Right, but there's one. There is one that's a little bit more crisp Nakamita. We'll hold off on that. So then, Mashu Kasav Rabbeinu Avraham Hayamatirim Im Bashlam Goy Beveso Shel Yisrael. So there is a Rav Avram. Who's Rav Avram? So he's one of the Bali Tosos. He's quoted in Tosos. Tosos quotes this Rav Avram that says that if the food is taking place in the kosher kitchen or in a Jewish kitchen, so that's fine. King Kasu Shamatosus, Tosus quotes that, Mordechai Shai Omer HaRav Ephraim V'lo Hoda Lo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't agree. V'lo Shno Beveis Agai V'lo Shno Beveis Yisrael. It doesn't matter whether it's a non-Jewish house, whether it's a Jewish house. The Lo Plug Rabbanon. The Rabbanon didn't make a distinction. V'chei Nira Shehudas HaPoskim Shestam Divrayim V'lo Chilku. That the Poskim all say it's Tam. They don't make this distinction about whether it's in a kosher kitchen or whether it's in a non-kosher kitchen. Okay, so that's, so number one is we have this machlokas about the reason. Number two is we have this idea of in the house or not in the house, and we pass the Beis Yosef passes, and we passkin that even if it's in a Jewish house, you have a problem. So therefore, if you have a maid, housekeeper, like those kinds of things, you can have a problem. Okay, and now skip Dalet. Let's go to Aleph Beis at the bottom. Well, for me, the bottom of the page. Right, there's here the Beis Yosef is split. Right, what he quoted from in Shulchan Aruch. He says below Asrael Adavar Sheinu Nechal Kmo Shulchai. V'gam olal shulchan malachim. So this is actually contained in the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, the two biggest kulas. Now there are more kulas, but these are the two biggest ones. Number one is if it is davar she'eno nechol kamo shulchai. It's only a problem. Bishalachim only applies to food if you can't eat it when it's raw, right? If it's edible when raw, so then you don't have to. Then Bishlakum is not going to apply. So like apples, right? Someone bakes apples, right? So Bishlakum is not going to apply because apples are apples. Think of other foods like mushrooms, other types of foods that the same kind of thing would apply. Fine. So where do we, and the other one is Vegam Ola al Shulchan Malachim. In order for it to qualify for Bishlakum, it has to be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. It has to be able to be served in front of a king. What does it mean that it's served in front of a king? So that's a big question. We'll get to that a little bit later. Fine. It continues on. So Sham, and he quotes his quote from the Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Amar Rav Kol Hanechal Kamo Shehu Chai Ein Bo Mishum Bishul Akum. Right. If it's edible when it's raw, you don't have to worry about Bishul Akum. So that is a quote in the name of Rav. Okay. Right. Rav said that. So then the Gemara comments. This is all a quote from the Gemara. The Surah Masnu Hachi. That's the way they taught it in Surah, in the Yeshiva in Surah. Right, where they walked around with the big S's on their shirts, right? The Pumpadisa, right? Their arch rivals, the Pumpadisites, must have been Pumpadisa. They taught Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, right? The same people, right? The same Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav. Kol she'ena ola shulchan malachim alach tavos apas in bo mishum bishul gayim. They said no, if it's not ola shulchan malachim, then you don't have to worry about bishul akum. So in Surah they taught one thing, in Pumpadisa they taught another thing. Right? So generally speaking, we have two people that are arguing, two people that say different things. What do we call that in Gemara? We call that a machlokas, right? And that generally means we paskin like one and not paskin like the other, right? But in this case...
Is it really machlokas? One is saying that it's the raw, and kamos shehu po mishum. Are they both saying it has to, one saying it doesn't have to be ola shulchan malachim?
Well, right. So we don't see that. They're both saying this is an exception to the rule of bishul akum, right? So, but it's not just it's the, right? They're saying this is the exception to bishul akum. That's the thought. So my benayhu. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara actually itself asks, "What's the nafkamina between the two?" So you can benayhu. There is a machlokas between the two. There is a nafkamina between the two. These are them: dogim ketanim, small fish, and the Gemara gives two other examples of small kinds of foods. Okay, so v'chasu atosvos v'harash v'harashva v'haran. Right, so those four Rishonim all say shapasak Rabbeinu Tam katrei lishni lahakel. The Rabbeinu Tam actually paskins like both of them. Because I'll take two. Right, ve'ein asr mishum bishul goyim elim kain a ola shulchan malachim ve'ein nechal kamoshu l'chai. Right, you need both qualifications. It has to be ola shulchan malachim. Again, we haven't defined that, and it can't be eaten when it is raw. V'dikdei kain medivrei haTalmud, and he actually was meduyat this. He actually figured this out based on the Gemara itself. How did he figure it out based on the Gemara itself? So the Tosos alludes. I'll figure it out again. That the nafkamina that was given, again, what the nafkamina the Gemara gives is dugim ketanim, right? What is the nafkamina about dugim ketanim?
Are those two guys that cook easily? Or?
Right, so I think they are nechal, they're not, no, I think they're going to say they're not nechal kamo shulchai, they need to be somewhat cooked. start acting up. They're not nechal kamoshu chai, but they are olal shulchan malachim. And the other examples, but they're not. They're not nechal kamoshu chai, but they're also not nechal al shulchan malachim. So the Gemara said, so the other two examples that are in the Gemara, which I don't have in front of me, the other two examples are similar. Meaning, if you were to want, if you really want to give a nachum between the two, you would give an example
so
of.
There would be no bishoakum by the little fish.
Well, the Gemara is saying. Well, one second. The Gemara is saying that it's a nachumina, right? But what Rabbeinu Tam. So if the Gemara is spelling it out as a nachumina, so what does it mean? It means that the Gemara is claiming that it's a machlokas.
Should be different for each opinion.
Right, it means that either you pass in like the Pumbedisites or you pass in like the Surites, right? How could you pass in like both, right? So Rabbeinu Tam said no. If you want to give a nafkamina, I would give usually when the Gemara might be nayu, it could be nayu. It gives two nafkaminas, one that would work each way. I mean, you would say give one example of something that is nechal kamoshu chay and is also olah shulchan malachim, and then we give an example that is not nechal kamoshu chay but isn't olah shulchan malachim. But instead, it gives all three nafkaminas like this, like the small duggan, like the case of that it is not nechal kamoshu chay, it is also not nechal olah shulchan malachim. So Rabbeinu Tam says, what does that mean? That means that really what's going on here is the Sura must do that, the Nechal Kamahushu Chai case, and the Pumbedisites were even more makil and allowed this. I mean, the Pumbedisites allowed the Surites Heter, and then went even further than the Surites. So if that's the case, Rabbeinu Tam says, the Machlokas isn't which is the Kula, the Machlokas is how far do the Kulas go? Right, the surah goes this far, and the Pumbedisites go this far. So see, he says, "Suffik to Rabban Lakula," or I don't want to put words in Rabban Tam's mouth, but maybe that's as far. And if we have the right to rely on both kulas, right? So those are the two.
How's the fish? The fish is neither.
No, the fish requires bishul. It might require a small amount of bishul, but it requires bishul. It's not nechal kamoshu chai, and it's not olah shulchan malachim. I believe that's the kula. So the second example that's given, right, the second one, the Pumbedisites who went second, they're the ones who came with the olah shulchan malachim heter.
So it definitely would not be a problem for them.
Right.
They wouldn't go in the king's
place. Right. So we're saying that would be a nachum between the Surites and Pumbedisites.
So it should require. Should be a problem for the Surites.
Right, and not for Pumbedisites. Okay. So the other two examples the Gemara gives are similar to that they are not Nechal Kamu Shulchai, and they're not Olal Shulchan Malachim.
So that's
an odd thing to do. You know, if the Gemara is going to give several nafkaminas, you would give a nafkamina both ways, meaning this would be a chumra for him and this would be a chumra for him. Right? And the fact that it gives all in one direction, so Rabbeinu Tam, or I think it's suggested that Rabbeinu Tam said, it must be that the nafkamina is not which way do you go, who's right, Sura Pumbedisa. The question is even Pumbedisa right? Is even the more makil ones right? Right, and we paskin, yes, we paskin that both of those are valid kulas.
What about nowadays people eat sushi?
We're nowhere near that.
I'm still in Babylon.
Okay, so he points out that the Ramban disagrees. Okay, and the other Rishon argue on the Ramban, and therefore we paskin lahakel. Okay, so with that, let's. Good. So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch.
It's going to be Reish Nun.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So Shulchan Aruch is pretty simple here. Truth is the there's not that much in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but the everyone else weighs in here. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Darash inu nechal kamo shulchai. If something is not edible when raw, and it's olah shulchan malachim, right, both of them, lalefes boas apas, to be eaten with bread, o leparperes, or as an appetizer, shebishlu ovik l'chavim, afilu b'chli Yisrael, that of ovik l'chavim cooked, even if afilu b'kli Yisrael, even if it's in kosher dishes, u'b'beis Yisrael, and in a Jewish kitchen, right, to clearly say that we don't pass them like that, Rav Avram, aser mishum bishalo b'kuchav. Right, it's going to be aser because of bishul akum. Okay, so with that, let's go in order here. So you take a look at the Taz in Aleph. So the Taz top right, or for me top right. Hatam. So what's the reason that Davar Shnechal Shulchai would be okay? So the Taz tells you Hatam de Ikar Gezeir Mishum Chasus. What's the main Gezeir is because of Chasus. If Davar Shenu Chashiv Kol Kach Ina the Mizam in Chaveir Olav. That's something that is not so Chashiv. They just eat it raw, so people don't invite other people over it. All right, continuing along the line, you can take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva, who quotes the Nafkamina from what we said earlier. Remember, Rashi had two possibilities. Rashi really gave two different reasons in two different places as to what the source of the reason, not what this reason is for the Gezeirah of Bishul Akum. One is because of the fear of intermarriage, and the other one is the fear that eventually they'll become so friendly that I'm going to eat they'll eat non-kosher food. So says the Pesachei Tshuva, Ein beheitev shel ma'arit, zal shekasav de ikar ha-gezeira haisa, mishum chasnus. That the main gezeira was because of chasnus. That's the real reason. Ein besefer tiferes lemoshe shekasav, dilfi tamzeh, shari bishul shel mumar, de mishum chasnus leka. He says that the person is a mumar. Right, the person is really Jewish, but the person has given up their Jewish religion. So what do we call the child of a mumar? Right? We call that person Jewish, right? So if the fear is only chasnus, so then we wouldn't have to worry about it. Ella, he says, however, he continues on, El Shaya Otam Avor B'Beis Yosef. But there's another reason that the Beis Yosef gives. What's that? The Shema Yochlenu Dvarim Asur, that maybe less someone will come and eat Asur things. L'fizeh Gam Bishol Shel Mumar Asur, Dahavi Kekofer L'chola Torah Kula. Therefore, even Bishol of a Mumar should be a problem. But this person denied the entire Torah. V'Shem Yachlinu Dvarim Hasur, unless they will feed you non-kosher things. Even if it's not a mumar that went to another religion, but it's just mechal shasher fahesia, or lechol haTorah kula chutz mishtai meilu, except for those two things, meaning avodah zara and Shabbos, the dino ka'ovei kuchavim, they would have the din of ovei kuchavim, gam kein bishulo aser, and therefore their bishul should be aser as well. So that's as far, and the Chalkas Bin Yamin quotes that, he doesn't really go any further. But there is what to wonder about this. Now normally, right, again, what's he saying? He's saying the real reason was of chasnus. So by Pasach, we also had the problem of chasnus, right? And by Pasach, the question was raised. There was also, I believe, the first Pesachei Tshuva raised that question, right? What about a mumar? And he responded by saying, no, that's okay, because you're allowed to marry his daughter, right? That was the first Pesachei Tshuva. There were Achron disagree, but that's the only shita that appears on the page. By Bishul Akum, all of a sudden, the Pesachei Tshuva is more machmir. Why? So he's saying, because we have this additional reason that's given in the Rishonim, that lest you're going to go ahead and eat non-kosher food. So, meaning, therefore you're not letting a mumar because of this concern, right, that it's going to lead to non-kosher food. Now, normally, we have shows up, I don't know, fairly regularly in Shulchan Aruch, right, this din, right, what do we do about a Machal Shabbos for Hesia, right, what is that person's status? Right, so there are nafkaminas to it, right? Like, a person is a machal shabbos for hesia, so they lose their privileges of being Jewish. So in Shulchan Aruch it says you're not allowed to invite the person over for a yontif meal because you're not allowed to cook on behalf of non-Jews and you're not allowed to cook on behalf of them either, right? It also says they wouldn't qualify for chalitza, right? You shouldn't go to the mumar brother for chalitza; you should go to someone else, right? And there are a couple of dinim that show up that discuss the machal shasra for hesia. Generally speaking, we're making on those. Right? Generally speaking, bizman hazeh, right? We say the person didn't throw away the yoke of their religion. That person, the older language is tinok shenishba. There's other languages that have been used. There's Rabbi Lau's speech at Kohelet last year was on this topic. Right, so we generally push that aside, Bizman Hazeh.
They don't use that as
What?
They don't use that as an excuse to let the woman go if the guy won't give her chalitza.
No, no, the Shulchan Aruch says that you should use a different brother. That's the chumrah of the Shulchan Aruch.
There's no other brother,
you would use him, yeah. From what I recall, I didn't look this up today. I probably haven't looked it up in about 5 years. But I believe, from what I recall, I think it says there that it makes that point. If he's the only brother, then you have to use him. So there is, I remember Shetzi used to quote, and one time I looked it up, there was a machlokas between Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg and the Sridi Eish and the Or Sameach about a man who passed away, leaving his wife without any children, and the man had two brothers. One was an atheist and one was a mishumad. Right? So which is the better one to go to? Right? So they had a machlokas between the two of them, and I believe one of them, I forget, I think it must be the Sridi Eish, describes the story. He actually says what happened. Like, they went to Russia, they found the guy who was the atheist, and he wasn't interested. I don't remember the story. Right. So the question was, is it better using the Christian? Was at least he believes in the concept of mitzvahs. Like, you might have the wrong guy, but at least he understands the concept that there is such a thing as a ritual act. The guy is an atheist, thinks the whole thing's a joke, so maybe you're better off going to the Christian. That was the discussion. I don't remember the details. So, But here, maybe there's more grounds to be concerned. Why is it here more grounds to be concerned? So the guy's really a mumar, and he's really eating non-kosher food. So then, if that's the chashash of Rashi, then you have to be concerned, even about Zanazeh. It doesn't matter whether he threw up the yoke of Torah. The question is just this. Does he eat in treif restaurants? He eats in treif restaurants, so maybe one has to be concerned. Maybe even for our modern-day Machal Shasa for Hesses, which we normally kind of push aside, maybe as man as that one would have to be nervous, which becomes a big, big problem. What happens if you have grandparents, a child's about tshuva, and their grandparents, so the grandparent can't cook for the grandparent, can't make a pot of noodles, right? So I just had that thought. I don't know what to do with it. Yes?
So what about if someone's not religious, what if they intermarry, so their daughter isn't Jewish, because their mother isn't Jewish? Does that change?
No. In terms of a person, whether these are all chumras derabanan. In terms of whether the person is Jewish or not, it follows the bloodline only. That's the mice. Whether the person is Jewish or not, it follows the bloodline.
No, but I'm saying if someone's intermarried, are you allowed to eat it? Because he might give you his non-Jewish daughter, even though he himself is Jewish. So is that?
Oh.
Because would that change if he had a non-Jewish wife?
That's a good question. I would probably think it would be a low plug to say that it was okay.
What is plug? Sure.
Plug means that we don't distinguish. We don't. The reason the gezeira is the gezeira. So technically speaking, this person has a non-Jewish daughter. Right? What if the person's now religious and he has a non-Jewish daughter? So that means that forever and ever he's not allowed to have guests over. Right? I would have trouble believing that. That's an interesting question, though. All right, so that's interesting issue number one. Interesting issue number two, which isn't necessarily so connected to our thing, but if you take, do you have the Dugal Meir Vava in your Gemara?
It's not immediately obvious.
Right. For me, it's on the side.
We have no guys on the side. Beragola.
Lever she'inu necho. So it's connected to this. It's the half moon and the star and the half moon at the beginning of your Aleph.
It has to be.
So it should say you someplace on the page. Dugal Meir Vava.
You got it? Unless it's
a different page.
I'm just thinking.
Unless it's maybe.
Wait a second. Maybe it's a.
Yeah. All right. Found it. It's in the back. Page Kuf Dalet. So Kuf Yud.
We're on Ridge. No. Shochna or something. Oh, Sif. Okay.
We're learning Sif Kuf Yud Gimel, so that's the case.
Yeah.
Tinyana, there's two Dugal Meir Vavas.
Well, look, shirt.
Maybe oh, maybe here. Otsim Reforsham, maybe. Yeah, there it is. The Otsim Reforsham on the bottom. So that's where they, I guess they collect everything. So right there on the bottom, so there you have the Dugal Mirvah.
What page?
On the page. So the Dugal Mirvah points out, I mean, this in theory is something that will show up in many different areas. He says, Aval davar shenechal k'mo shehu chai, einu nesar pevishal. Right? If it's something that's nechal k'mo shehu chai, it's not going to become usher if you cook it. Right? An apple's not going to become cooked, right? Usher just because you cooked it. Obikul chavim. Afilu, he adds in, l'adam shchashiv. Even to a person who's important. Kevin Shirav Nachman Asa Maisa Leheter Maisa Rav Kenir Lefi Anias Daisi. Because we see that Rav Nachman did something to be matir something as a Maisa Rav, that's what it appears in my opinion. The Lo Keshach Lekaman Simon Kufnun Beisif Beis. Not like the Shach and Kufnun Beisif Beis. And look in the Magen of Ram and Reish Dun Zayin Siv Katan Tesla of the Pastans like me. So that's like, whoa.
What is it saying exactly?
He just gave three references that's unclear. He said what his words say is that this doesn't just apply to every Jew. Doesn't just apply to the regular Jews. It even applies to the Halakha Jews, right? Even to those that are chashuv, they're even allowed to hold like these kulas. Right? That's what the Dugal Mirvah says. He says like it appears in Masechta Shabbos, not like the Shach, and look in the Magen Avraham that holds like me. Right, that's what the last
so
few lines are.
Why would you think it'd be any different between?
So take a look at the Dugal Mirvah. I believe you have Kufnun in your books, right? You have Kufnun?
Kufnun.
Simon Kufnun in the Shulchan Aruch. If you don't, I should have gone there. Kufnun Beis. Go forward. It's a Simon Kufnun Beis.
Yeah, we should have.
Oh, I'm getting it. Yeah, Kuflama.
So go to Kufnun Beis.
Nun Beis. Tuf Tes Zion.
Right, so it's Shalo Yochal HaYisraelim Mu'ovikul Chavim Afal Pisha Ochal Mishalo. Right, that should be the title of the simon, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right? So this then is like, whoa, I have to look at the Gemara and remember this. This is a Gemara, it's pretty much quoting you straight out of Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Ovikul Chavim Ma'osa Mishal Chupas Beno. If a non-Jew makes a party for his son's wedding, right? Obito, or his daughter's wedding. Aser LeYisrael LeChal Sham. A Jew's not allowed to go and eat there. Afilu ochel mishalo, even his own food. Right? V'shamish shalo omid olav. Even if he has his own shamish there, he would be allowed to eat there. V'shamish would be taken care of. Right? It would be aser. Umeimasai aser. And when does it begin to become aser? Mishiyasv lahachin sarchei asuda. When he begins to prepare the tzarchei asuda, meaning it's usher to eat in the wedding hall as soon as preparations for the wedding begin in that wedding hall. Right? And even afterwards for 30 days, you're not allowed to eat with this non-Jew. Right? Beim Omer, if he says to him, Shemazminu bishvil hachuppa, and if he invites you saying, come, you know, we're going to have another chuppa party, even though the guy got married 11 months ago, Aser ad Yud Beis Chodesh, it's prohibited for 12 months. L'achar Yud Beis Chodesh Mutter, after 12 months it becomes permissible. Elohim came hu Adam Chashev, unless he's an Adam Chashev. So all of a sudden it seems like there's some kind of chumr here if you're an Adam Chashev. That's Beferish in the Gemara. That's a quote from the Gemara. Elohim came Adam Chashev. Take a look at the Shach, the Sif Beis. The Rif and the Rambam leave out the line about the Adam Chashev. Because of Habach, the Sphere laid that feel Adam Chashev Shari. You say, why? Because the Bach says because they hold it's much different Adam Chashev. However, you have a problem. It would be difficult. It's difficult to read the Gemara then, right? V'dachak liyashiv hashas l'daitam, right? It seems difficult to understand the Gemara then. V'li nira d'lo hutzuchu l'kosto mishum d'milsa d'pshita hi d'adam chashiv yarchik atzo b'chol maisha yochel. Right, and it seems to me that it shouldn't even have to write it because it seems obvious that an adam chashiv should always try to separate himself from these kinds of things. And that's how you can explain the Rambam. Tesvav. I don't know. Doesn't say it just says veha tesvav there.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
B'simin kufyud. Oh, I'm sorry. Veha tesvav b'simin kufyud gimel. So kufyud gimel is our simin. I'm not sure what the tesvav is still though. Terezahav, maybe, the Taz. Shalok kasvu hadi isa b'shas, the Adam Chashav Aser. That it doesn't write that which it says in Shas, that Adam Chashav is Aser. B'shulchan Aruch, af b'davar shenachlak moshu chai. V'chein tzarech lomar das harambam, v'hamachab r'le'el simkuf membeis, sifchaf. V'chein l'kamet, so simkuf tzari hei, gabi heter mezigas hakos b'ishto nido. I mean, ishto nido also. There also seems to talk about this. Ay, deshinu eksav b'is yosi, this real harambam, she'inu el adam gadol, l'kach l'kasvu that that some of these chumas might only be for an Adam Gadol, but he doesn't seem to write it. He doesn't seem to need to write it. So the Shach says, why did the Rif and the Rambam leave it out? Because it's obvious that an Adam Chashav would, of course, try to avoid these things. So the Shach takes it literally. He says an Adam Chashav has to be more machmer on these things, and Adam Chashav has to be machmer on all these things. And he seems to be saying explicitly that an Adam Chashav can't rely on these kulas. That's what got the Noda Bihuda somewhat upset. Now, Noda Bihuda argues on that. His argument is, from Vagina Brahma Simon Rashid and Zion, Sifkat and Tesvav, what is going on there? So that I'll tell you outside. I looked that up today as well. That's Vagina Brahma has to be an Or HaChaim, right? Vagina Brahma only appears in Or HaChaim. So what's Simon Rashid Tesvav? What's Simon Rashid and Zion? Rashid and Zion, we actually, I think, learned together. That's the Simon of Hatmana. That's the Simon of wrapping, right? And the Shulchan Aruch there has a discussion about whether you can wrap something that's cold in order to take the chill out, right? And the Gemara there says that one of the this Amora said it was mutter, and then tells a story of one Amora told another Amora, can you get me my flask of water? And he like didn't do hatmana. And so why did he do Hatmana? He says, oh, Adam Chashav Shaini. Right? So one of the Amoraim responded that. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that, and the Magen Avraham, doesn't quote the thing, but he just says that it's Mutter, and the Magen Avraham says, even for an Adam Chashav, it's Mutter. Right? So the Magen Avraham is disagreeing with this Shach. He's saying that there's no, I mean, that Gemara there that suggests the idea that an Adam Chashav maybe should be Machmir, the Magen Avraham says, yeah, but there's five Amoraim saying that it's Mekel. There's five Amoraim saying that you don't have to be Machmir on it. So it seems like the Dugal Meir Vava sets this up as a machlokas between the Shach and the Magen Avraham. How does the Dugal Meir Vava explain, by the way, who wrote the Dugal Meir Vava? I forgot the Dugal Meir Vava is the Noda Bihuda. My Alta Zeta. So the Dugal Meir Vava then turns around. He doesn't turn to say it here, but how do you explain that Gemara in Avodah Zarah? So the Dugal Meir Vava says that's a unique case. Right? What's going on? What's the fear there? Right? Does that mean that Bizman Azeh you're not allowed to go to a non-Jewish wedding? So I'm not sure. After reading that, I'm not sure. But the Shulchan Aruch, but the Gemara there is talking about a specific concern. What's the concern? That the host is going to be so excited to see you that what's he going to do? He's going to offer another korban. Wow, I'm so excited to see you. Let's throw another calf onto the altar. Right? So the Dugal Meir Vava says that's what the concern is about an Adam Chashav. A regular person shows up 12 months later and he's given up with the wedding already. But if Adam Chashav shows up, so then he's going to be concerned, he's still going to be excited about it, and therefore he's still going to throw this korban up to the Avodah Zarah, and that's why specifically there an Adam Chashav is shiny. Not because an Adam Chashav has to keep more chumras, but some Adam Chashav might lead to other possible types of things.
So, but this applies to, let's say, a Gentile who's not an idol worshiper, maybe a Muslim or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you throughout
Avodah Zarah, you have to figure out what's low plug.
You still don't want to marry the donor, but.
Right, well, the wedding thing is an Avodah Zarah concern, so you have to figure out how much of the Avodah Zarah concerns.
Why is it only the
Avodah? No, but that's what the Gemara is concerned about. The Gemara is not concerned about the food, the Gemara is not concerned really about the chassis, the Gemara is concerned about the. Seems to be concerned about Avodah Zarah. There is much to talk about in terms of Olal Shulchan Malachim, but maybe instead of starting on that, I'll show you one interesting thing that I hadn't underlined, which is good, otherwise I wouldn't have noticed it. Take a look at the Gilyon Maharsha.
We're
on the regular page, back onto our page, Kuf Yud Gimel. I don't really know what it's doing here. this Gillian Maharsha.
So were we in the...
But on the regular page,
okay.
Right, there's here, Gillian Maharsha. Okay. So Gillian Maharsha is... Who's the Maharsha? Not the Maharsha on the back of the Gemara. Gillian Maharsha is Rav Shlomo Eger, right, Rav Akiva Eger's son. Right. So the Gillian Maharsha, I must have underlined that. I must have looked this up when that whole Starbucks controversy came out a couple of years ago. Right. So he says here, Shtias coffee, the coffee hauser. Mm-hmm. Sounds like drinking coffee in the coffee houses. So Kasav bit something be'er eshek, simon kufay, sha'af b'minog kadoshim mutter. The many are matarit. The gam ein lachosh l'taruvus iser. Right, and they're not even so concerned about taruvus, the lo shchichi, because it's not so normal that they would put in anything not kosher. Right, so this shows up. Can you even going to a non kosher coffee house? Right, can you drink even out of the mugs? Right, so a little uncomfortable doing it, but it's, the Gilim Marashah seems to be saying that it's okay because they're kept, like all the kelim are kept separately. They don't have non-kosher things. It's rare that a non-kosher thing would be there.
Yeah, but Starbucks has non-kosher.
So it comes on and says, "V'ulai b'zmanenu." He says, "Maybe b'zman hazeh." I'm not sure who's writing that. If that's the Gilim Marashah, I guess Gilim Marashah is writing it because he lived later than the Be'er Ishek. Haya b'kofi hazer ach kofi shechora. Right? Maybe in those days, b'zmano, in his days, in the coffee houses, they only served black coffee. About b'zmanenu, he says, b'zman hazeh, hine shchiach chalav. They now, you know, we've become weaker, yiridus adaris, and now they have milk in the coffee. So the milk, you know, b'zman hazeh, in America, it's like, you know, unless you're makbid on Chalav Yisrael, you just like, doesn't enter your mind. Milk is kosher. But if before the USDA, right, you couldn't just assume that milk is kosher, mm-hmm. Right? So maybe you have to be concerned about milk. And certainly in those cups there probably was milk that was milked by non-Jews. He says, however, because it's a klisheni, maybe you don't have to be so concerned. Right? So you got to work that out in terms of what we learned in Basar V'Chalav. Right? They're saying that you pour the hot water in, it's a kli sheni, right? The milk is getting absorbed into a kli sheni, and now if something was absorbed by a kli sheni, will it then be taken out if you use it again for a kli sheni? So it might be not far not. I can't figure out what this is. No. These concerns. Am I allowed to use a cup that might have had trace milk in it before? If you use styrofoam, you're good, right? So that's the recommendation when you go to these places.
Styrofoam. Well, it's paper.
Or paper.
Yeah. But they're clean. And but there's still, I mean, is all the stuff that's served in Starbucks not kosher, but people drink the coffee?
No, so Starbucks is really not this issue. I'm not really sure. Sometimes you just like open up a page and there's underlined stuff. It's like a batana, you know, like, kind of like, oh, okay. I don't recall at all like looking this up or when I looked it up. It might have been then. It might have been when I actually ended up in this situation. There was a coffee house at my corner when I lived in Phoenix that someone took me to once. I was like, wasn't sure what to do. What was I going to say?
I was asking about Starbucks.
But the Starbucks issue is a somewhat different issue. That the concern wasn't the milk or the coffee. That the concern was the kelim, mm-hmm. because of the right. dishwashing. Mm-hmm. So the dishwasher is even a bigger, is even more far fetched because there's soap involved and it is a klisheni, but it's really your. The water is hitting a kli, which makes it a cliche, and then possibly going into your kli, and then the question is whether you're going to be drinking out of that kli, right? It's one more step in there to make it even more manual. So check the tapes. I think we did that in a shiur.
I know you did it once. I just didn't remember.
Yeah, find the tapes. All right. Let's go.
Sure.